37 trillion cells. Our body is quite a machine. You know, and every 90 days, the cells reproduce and change. And to think that people have got the audacity to say that this all happened over so many million years, okay? If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I really would appreciate it if there, I don't know if there are Bibles in the pews, but if all of you could kind of go to 1 Corinthians 12. In the first 11 verses, it talks about spiritual gifts. And at one part, it says, and I think it's in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of these in all men. But it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and what it's talking about there in those particular areas, it's talking about what we in the church have called motivational gifts or the passion gifts that God has given each and every one of us. And there are 7 of them. There's the prophetic, the serving, the teaching, the encouraging, giving, leading, mercy. And all of these born into the world, basically we've had one or two of these motivational gifts that are working within it. Now, my motivational gift, I really work out of two of them. These are my passions. You know, some people have got a passion for giving. Some people have got a passion or a leading of the Lord, something within them that causes them to be good leaders. Some are encouragers. You ever get around those people that sometimes they can be almost, they just can go overboard maybe a little bit because they're always happy. You know, you ever get that way? You know, and you want to just kind of say, don't you have any bad days? You know, well, that's the encourager, okay? My motivations have been primarily serving and teaching. Now, the motivational gift of teaching is the thing of digging out. For instance, how many of you know anything about or have seen a Strong's Bible, a concordance? Have you ever seen a Strong's Concordance? Strong's Concordance, like a lot of the other concordances that have been written, where it was, you know, every word in the Bible is listed and everywhere it's at in the Bible. Now, this was done by a man by the last name of Strong, and that was done before computers. Now, I can't wrap my brain around the amount of time that it took this man to sit down and write down every word in the Bible and where it's located. So it's a tremendous tool, but he had to have the motivation of a teacher. In the motivational gifts, the motivation of a teacher is to dig truth out, okay? And then the other one is serving. I love to serve. And then it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And we find that in 1 Corinthians 12, in that 7 to 11, in those 7 to 10. Words of wisdom. Words of wisdom are, God gives a person a word of wisdom, and usually a word of wisdom is kind of focuses on the present future. Then there's the word of knowledge, which really focuses on present past. God gives you, and counseling sessions. I've been sitting or working with people, and all of a sudden this thought comes through my mind about something that happened in their past, and I'll bring it up to them. Give you an example, working with a young lady one time, and and as we were sharing and she was sharing and talking, I had this gnawing thought that I said, has your dad ever pushed you down the steps? And she said, no, my dad's never done that. And I couldn't get away from it. Well, anyway, she went home and she got, that kind of was bothering her, so she called her mother. And her mother said, no, he never has pushed you down the steps. And she stopped. She said, but he did push me down the steps when I was pregnant with you, because she had twins, twin sister. And he was angry. And here, that was something that even as a baby within the womb, she was experiencing. See, that's word of knowledge. That's present past. Okay? And then there's faith, and that's when God gives you this supernatural kind of faith. You just know that you know and you're knower. And then there's a whole thing of gifts of healing, and it's gifts. It's a plural. There's no such thing as a healer. There's a person that God uses in gifts of healings at different times. The word miracle, if you look it up in the Greek, it literally means works of God. So there's no such thing as a healer. If it's God's work, then God is the one that's doing it, right? And so it's gifts of healing, and then it's gift of miracles, word of prophecy. And that's where God, through a person, will speak a particular word to a group of people or to a church. And then there's a distinguishing of spirits. You get this sense and you know what kind of a spirit is working in that person. Sometimes I in counseling, there'll be times and God will give me this thought through my mind that they were really telling me a lie. And what I was sensing, see, was God was helping me see that the spirit behind what they were saying was a lying spirit. All right? And then there's tongues and interpretation of tongues. And these are the nine gifts of the Spirit that are talked about here. And then in Ephesians 4:11, and we've heard this year that, you know, that God gave gifts to the church in Hebrews, or I mean in Ephesians 4:11. And the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Do you realize, let me read that, because I want you to grab a hold of I shared this some time ago when I was preaching in Turtle Lake. Caused some people to get a little bit huffy. Don't understand why. It was he, talking about Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. So God gave these gifts to the church. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about your pastor. You know, we can have all kinds of thoughts about our pastors. And sometimes we like our pastors, sometimes we struggle with our pastors. But we have to realize that it's Jesus Christ who gave us a gift of a pastor. Isn't that awesome? So I mentioned this to the church in Turtle Lake. I said, you know what, I'm a gift to you all. And they go, yeah. But it's the truth. I wasn't, you know, patting myself in the back or anything like that there. God gave us as gifts to the church, just like he's done a lot of other people. All of us have a place. If we're part of the body of Christ, then we all have a place in it, okay? And there's a reason for the gifts that he gave, the fivefold ministers, as we call it. But anyway, in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says this, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gave them each to one just as he determined. Understand today that God has given all of us passions, motivational gifts, things that move us. I've had some churches where, well, almost in every church, and I would say every church, so there's always been those one or two ladies that to try and hold them down from being a servant and taking care of the kitchen, all that stuff, then that was just natural to them. All right, then there were some that came along and it was struggling for them. Some people are, it's easy for them to get up and talk, all right? And they motivation, they're encouragers, they're leaders and so forth. Some people, that's a hard thing. I had one lady in Rice Lake when I was passing there that I asked her one time to read a scripture for me, and she looked at me, and I could tell by her eyes that I had touched on sacred ground. All right, and afterwards she came up and said, "Pastor, don't call on me." And I said, "I'll tell you what, if the Lord speaks to me three times, I'll call on you." She said, "Okay, if he speaks to you three times." And we just talked to her the other day, and it was all brought up again, you know, three times. And sometimes it's hard. Some people find it hard to stand up. I God put me through all kinds of stuff to get me to the place that I can do this. And because I, you know, I grew up by Canton, you know, and on a farm, and my vocabulary, I always say it was the up and nope. And I tell you what, I went to one room school, then I went to high school, and I had to take speech. Oh my goodness, to stand in front of a class and give a speech. I mean, knees were knocking or bypassing each other. Okay. But yet God took me through that, got me into acting in plays, and all the time what God was doing was helping me bring me out and teach me how to be a person to proclaim, okay? But in verse 11, God has given us and placed us in the part of the body of Christ as he wants. Problem is, we don't like where he puts us sometimes. But the thing is, he does, all right? So let's go down to verse 12, and let's just start going through verse 12 and on. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. See, the body of Christ is many parts. And we in the church need to realize that within this building right here, within this particular church, there's many parts. But we're not the only parts in the world. We're not the only parts in the body of Christ. All the rest of the believers, we have parts of the body of Christ that are in China. Some of them are in India. Some of them are in Africa, South America. Some of them are in a church across town. Who knows? But if we're believers in Christ, then we're part of the body of Christ. All right? And so he goes on. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized or immersed. The word baptized means immersed. We were all immersed by one Spirit into one body. When you and I gave our lives to Christ, God, through the Holy Spirit, took us and immersed us into the body of Christ. And I love that. You know, like I've said this different times that I've been here, you guys are strange people. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I'm raised Methodist. I was in the evangelical world and in the evangelical Methodist church, I've been part of the whole charismatic movement and so forth, and here I am in the Baptist church. But the neat thing is, there were brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been all put into the same body. I love that. I was just telling somebody else the other day that I was going to be speaking here this morning, and he said, "Haven't you spoke there a number of times?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "They like me." You know? And I love them. See? And why? Because we're brothers. I'm part of the family. This is part of the body of Christ. And all of us are, we have, God's placed us where he put, where he's put us. And so here we are, you know. And we function, we work together. And I love that. That just blesses me. I've got brothers and sisters all around the world. Isn't that cool? He says, one spirit, one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. See, the spirit of Christ within us, all right? Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were all an eye, wouldn't that be horrible? Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the smell, sense of smell be? You know, my wife can, you know, she is a tremendous piano player. And every once in a while she says she plays by ear. And I get this image in my mind of her trying to bounce around. But in fact, God has arranged, listen to this, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So you see, I know where my part of the body of Christ is his spokesman. I love digging scriptures out. So I've got this drive to dig out truth. That's the motivation of a teacher. But I'm also, I have got not just the motivation of a teacher, but I've also got the fivefold minister gift of a pastor teacher. And so I've pastored for years. I love to teach. I basically, when I, you know, somebody one day said, well, Arbor, do you ever, how do you get to preaching? In other words, what he was saying is, do you ever go into a service where you are just working out of the whole thing of being a preacher? I said, no, I never do that because that's not my comfort zone. I always start out being a teacher. And if God anoints it and I start preaching, and that happens every once in a while, okay, then I get the anointing and I'm you know, thus saith the Lord type person. But most of the time, I just function as a teacher. And so, but again, you see, I'm happiest when I'm in that place. I love doing what I'm doing right now. Not because I've got a lot to say or I think I'm somebody special or anything like that, but I just love doing it. I have fun. I don't know if the people have fun, but I do. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, they are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. See, I wish that the people in the body of Christ could grab a hold of this. We need each other, okay? And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Wouldn't that be funny? A head walking down the road with no feet, rolling down the road, okay? On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we trust with special honor. And the parts that are impresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. I really don't know how to get that across. We need each other. Psalms 139:13 says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. We have a close friend of ours who are, she's in the next week or so going to give birth to a child. And we were praying for them the other day, and I said, you know, and as I was praying, I was picturing the Lord doing his creative work, molding and making and putting all the things together in that little human body inside the mother's womb. We need to realize, people, that you and I were all made that way, that God knit us together, okay? And we need to be thankful. I mean, that when I take a look at the human body, I'm absolutely amazed at how this thing functions. And you know, it there's a healing that take, you know, the body heals itself in a lot of situations and so forth, but it's tremendous. There should be no division, though, in the body. Each part should have equal concern for the other. Sometimes we get kind of snobbish as parts of the body of Christ. You know, if I think that I can go around and don't need the church, I'm in deep trouble. I asked the church in Turtle Lake, I said, who's the most important part of a football team? You ever think about that? Who's the most important part? Well, we say, most of us would say, probably the quarterback. He's the guy that makes the big bucks, okay? But you know what? You can take the greatest quarterback in the world, and if you don't have a center that can hand him the ball correctly, he's worthless. And if you don't have a defense or a team, you know, some offensive team, the guards and the tackles, you know, one day when I was back in Rice Lake in high school and we had a coach, and it was junior high, you know, junior varsity team, and so forth, and he was coaching it, and I mean, he pushed and pushed and pushed. So one day, he stepped in, and he was going to do the play. He was going to run the play, and so those of us who were in the offensive line kind of looked at each other, and everybody knew what we were thinking, and so when he said hike, the center hiked the ball, and all of us kind of went like this and let the defense through. Well, they gang tackled him. See, he needed his offensive line. You can be the greatest passer in the world, but if you don't have good receivers, so when you look at it, it's a team sport. Everybody needs everybody. Okay? That's the body of Christ. See, we need each other. And if we think that we can get along without the body of Christ, man, we're going to be in real heap of trouble. And that's what he's trying to get across here, that we need each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We are the body of Christ, each one of us. We're part of the body of Christ. We represent, and we are the body of Christ. In verse 25, it says, there should be no division in the body. Each member should care for one another. The word care means to put before, to present, to lift up, to watch over, to give direction, to intercede for, give of oneself to be concerned for. We need to care for one another in the body of Christ. All right? I want to go back. This whole thing of the body. Do you have that tape ready? How many of you know what the word laminin means? Laminin, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. If you laminate something like plywood, It's the glue that holds it together. That's laminin, okay? There's a scripture in Colossians, and you're going to hear this. I'm going to show an excerpt of just a short excerpt of Pastor Louis Gigolo, sharing this message. But I want you to, when you go home, if you have a computer, look up laminin, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. But I want you to see this and hear what God has done. What, you know, we're talking about the body of Christ. We need to realize that not only you and I are part of the body of Christ, but Christ is a part of every body that's made. So I want you to listen to this, okay? Go ahead. Isn't that awesome? The DNA of the laminin protein is a cross. Within your body, throughout your body, there's a protein called laminin that's holding you and I together. It's Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I get blessed every time I see this. We're talking about caring one for another so that there's no division in the body. Okay? Whenever one of the parts of the body decides to do its own thing, decides to make itself more important than the rest of the body of Christ, it creates division. And when we start to create division within the body of Christ, who is it that we are going against? Christ, because he's the part that holds us together. You all hear me? See, I really don't care where you're at in the body of Christ. I don't really care where I'm at in the body of Christ. I'm part of the body of Christ. And every part of the body of Christ is just as important as the other parts of the body of Christ. All right? But we have to maintain, we've got to get it in our minds, people, that we're part of a body and we are to care for one another. When I hit this thumb with a hammer, I don't hold it out and criticize it and say, you dumb thing, you, why in the world did you get in the way? What do we do when we hit our thumb with a hammer? We grab it. We care for it. Put it under cold water. Take away some of the whatever. You understand what I'm saying? And the moment, and let me just say this, the moment that we start seeing ourselves better than somebody else, the moment we start trying to be something that we're not, when the ear tries to be the eye, it don't work. When this particular muscle tries to be the hand, it doesn't work. It creates division. You understand that this morning, people? Grab a hold of this. Because I guarantee you that all of us, when we stand before God, that if we have been a division, a divider in the body of Christ, we're going to be held accountable. I have ministered now since 1965, 66. And I have seen individuals try and do this. I've seen families broken up and divided. I've seen all kinds of this stuff. And it's senseless. Let me share a few scriptures. Listen to this. It's 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. That's an old, it's really a quote from an Old Testament scripture. Here's what happened. Noah, he gets off the ark and so forth, and he's a farmer, so he raises some crops, and he raises some grapes, all right? And he raises grapes, he makes some wine, all right? And it says that he got drunk, and he was laying in his tent, and he was naked, all right? Ham comes into the tent and sees his dad drunk, lying there naked. And this is what he does. He turns around, he goes outside, and he's talking with Jephthah, and what was the other brother's name? Him. Ham sees his father, Shem, and Jephthah. He goes out and says, hey, you guys wouldn't believe it. Dad's in there drunk as a skunk, naked as a jaybird. Okay? They take a blanket, they put it over their shoulders, they walk in backwards and cover their dad. That's what this verse is referring to. If you love somebody, you're going to cover their sins. Here's what we do in the body of Christ. When somebody sins in the body of Christ, we go out and expose them. Did you hear? Man, I tell you what, I heard the other day. What is that? Gossip. What does the Bible equate gossip to? Murder. Murder. God sees it as murder. So don't do it. Don't create. Let the word cover means, it means to cover, to conceal, to throw a veil over. It doesn't mean that you excuse the sin. In fact, the Bible then goes on to say that what you do is you go to your brother and you share that, you share it with them and encourage them, and if they repent, you forgive them and go on. Okay? That's what the Bible says. But you don't go and tell your neighbor. You don't go and tell the rest of the body. The hand doesn't say, man, did you see what the ear was doing? Goodness gracious. No, you cover. If you love that person enough, and above all, 1 Peter, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. By the way, a sin means to miss the mark, to be in error, to be guilty of a wrong, guilt. Let me ask you a question. I asked Lois this here. It says that sin is missing the mark, right? So, in order to miss the mark, what do you have to do?
Try.
Great answer. Try. You see, all of us, everyone sitting here this morning, have tried to live and be godly people, right? How many of you have never made a mistake? See, every one of us, every one of us have missed the mark. Why? Because we tried. You can sit there and you can go out deer hunting, and if you don't check your scope to see if it's on or whatever the sights are on, you're going to miss the deer. So you go out there and you make that shot. You got everything just right. The scope is dead center. Everything is solid, man. And you miss the bullseye. You never would have known that if you had not tried. See, that's the thing we miss. We miss that other people. And God, you know what? God gives you and I grace and mercy when we miss the mark, right? Then why don't we extend that to the other parts of the body of Christ? See, that's the whole thing. That's what we're talking about. All right? Romans 13 says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Stop judging. Oh, man. You talk about... I got to be careful. Calm down, Art. We in the body of Christ are experts at judging others. We're just good at it. We're good at judging. We're good at gossiping before we know all the facts. Because the world is that way. And people, it creates division in the body of Christ. Romans 14:9, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. We need to build each other up. If somebody misses the mark, you don't go over there and pound them on the head. You go over there with the grace and mercy of God and say, you know what? Let's try it again. Let's try and make it right. Then, in fact, if you make the mistake, hey, let's try it again. That's the only way you're going to get proficient in hitting the bullseye. Just work at it, work at it, work at it, adjust, work at it, work. And one day, pow, right in the middle of it, you made it. Hallelujah. And you just go on to the next. We need to be that kind of a body of Christ. James 5:9 says, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. All you got to do, if you want to read about grumbling, go and read about the children of Israel. Grumble. There were 7 times that they grumbled, and man, thousands of people died because of it. Don't grumble. What's your first name again?
Jerry.
So Jerry is this part of the body of Christ, okay? And I'm this part right here, and Lois is this part over here, all right? So, Jerry, get your act together, will you? You know, come on. Get with the program here, will you? See? And then I go to Lois and I say, you know what? Jerry's just, I mean, crickets. Huh, what are we going to do with him? What am I doing right there? I'm grumbling about what? The body of Christ and a part of the body of Christ. And who put him in that place? In the scriptures we just read, who put him? God. When he formed that body together, okay? The same way with the body of Christ. And so why grumble at somebody? Why not be an encouragement to them? Why not lift them up? Why not help them and care for them? Why not assist them to do the job that God called them to do? That's why you've got your wife. She's that. Jerry. That's why we husbands have got our wives.
Yeah, right.
My wife, we've been married 50, how many years, Lois? 54 years? 53 years? She's wore out. Listen, in Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day of the approaching. Every day, people, we get closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. That day is coming closer. So why isn't this church filled? There's a lot of churches around the country that have got small groups. Some churches, we drove by a church in Rice Lake, you know, they're all filled with cars and so forth. They're God's kids, part of God's body, so are we. You know, and we can look at that and we can kind of beat each other down and we can feel bad and, you know, why are we doing this and why are we doing that there? But every single person out there makes a choice. And we have no say over that choice. They can either choose to be a part of a church or go to church or not go. It's amazing, you know, even at Grace in Turtle Lake, that if everybody was there on a particular Sunday, it would be overflowing to the, you know, if everybody was there. But not everybody comes every Sunday. Some come every other week. Some come once a month. Some come at Christmas and Easter. You know? And that's their choice. But they're the ones that are missing. We keep coming. Because you know why? I need you guys. You need me. We're part of the body of Christ. In fact, the thing that holds us together is Jesus. See, that's what makes us the body of Christ. I love and appreciate you guys because Jesus loves and appreciates you guys. And vice versa. Okay? How do we do this? And let me close by just in Philippians 2. in verses 5 through 11, it talks about Jesus Christ, and it talks about having the same character or attitude as Jesus. And here is what his attitude was, that we have the same attitude. In other words, he came to minister to the body. He came to care for it. He humbled himself, so we need to humble ourselves. He made himself nothing, and he became a servant, and he was obedient to God. That's a key to all of this. We have the same attitude as Jesus, and that attitude is this: we're no better than anybody else. And I've said this before, I'm sure, here. I'm no better. This is how I look at myself. I'm no better than anyone here this morning. And I really mean that. Hopefully, I'm better today than what I was yesterday. You're no better than me. But hopefully today you're better than what you were yesterday. You understand that? We're all part of the body of Christ. So have Christ's attitude and humble ourselves and become a servant. Serve one another. Care for one another. And then obey God. What is God saying to you? What's he trying to get across to us? See, that's what we need to do. We need to be an encouragement to one another. We need to be an encouragement to our pastors and to our leaders. We need to be an encouragement. We need to help each other as best we can. You know, we need to do that. And because that's the body working together. I had a lady back in when I was in the Methodist Church down in Bloom City, Wisconsin. And one day she was out chopping wood. And she hit her foot. Why am I laughing? She hit her foot and lost her little toe. And we might think, well, it's just a little toe. Big deal. You know, they're kind of ugly little things. You know, they sit there, you know, a little and crooked sometimes and bent under, or you know, whatever. But she had to learn to walk all over again. You know why? Because the biggest balancing factor in your foot is your little toe. Isn't that something? We need the little toe. I don't know what the appendix is good for, but anyway, we do need the little toe. Let's be a body, people. Let's reach out and touch the body of Christ. Let's reach out and touch people's lives. Care for them. Serve them. Be an encouragement to them. You know, there's people all around us that need our help. And as we lift up that Jesus that holds us all together, as we lift up that Jesus, he says that he will draw all men to himself. Okay? And when he does that, you know what happens? We have the privilege of being able to maybe to lead that person to Christ. So as we work together, what the people see is the laminin Jesus working within the body of Christ, and they want to be a part of that body of Christ because it's functioning as one. Isn't that something? When people see the church being a body, working together, with that laminin that's holding us together being lifted up, they want to become a part of it. Why? Because they live in a world that is full of division after division after division. All you got to do is watch the news. All you got to do is watch this proceeding about the judge. And you're going to see division, division, division. This side, this here. And Jesus died. He died, people, that you and I might be one. Okay? Let's bow our heads for prayer.